Videos showing what people claim to be UFOs are going viral on TikTok, taking over the For You page and raking in millions of views. The trend follows a long history of American fascination with UFOs. TikTok, of course, is well suited for quickly spreading information about UFO sightings, according to Greg Egigian, a history professor at Penn State University and an expert on the history of UFO sightings. Some viral identified flying objects are quickly identified by users. Of course, on Monday, a Goodyear blimp people mistook for a UFO went viral in New Jersey. That same day, lights over Denver that some suspected were UFOs were actually identified to be part of a light show for the Denver Broncos football game. You can read more about this story in the In the News section up at coasttocoastam.com. More of my conversation with Dave and Carla on past lives and karma when Coast to Coast AM continues. Stay with us. And we are back with Dave Bettenhausen and Carla Bogney Kidd, co-authors of The Gift of Past Lives, with Mother Isabella, God, and Elizabeth. And let's talk a little bit about karma and how that works exactly. Carla, do you want to start?
Sure. Well, as far as the five simple rules that we talk about in The Gift of Past Lives, conceit, jealousy, selfishness, unforgiveness, and of course, love, all of our choices stem from one of these. If you think about it, all of our negative choices stem from conceit, jealousy, selfishness, and unforgiveness. Those are the things that create karma. Those are the reasons that we return for another incarnation. We have to overcome that karma with those negative choices. And everything stems from all positive karma is directly a result of love and choices made from love.
So every decision that you make, every decision you make is creating karma.
Yes.
Good or bad. Every single interaction you make throughout your entire life, it's going into the good karma piggy bank or the bad karma piggy bank.
Absolutely.
And so really, Richard, the idea is to try to get all of your quarters in that good piggy bank. And when that happens, we can actually finish this cycle of returning and returning and returning. We learned a lot of lessons while meditating, and again, we talked a little bit about Isabella was a spirit guide that I met. Carla has a spirit guide named Elizabeth. Both of them have taught us lessons from God, or if many people use different terms, Tao and the source, light, whatever, but I still use the term God, especially with our Catholic upbringing. But we really learned that this was God's plan really from the very beginning, that create a being that could learn, that would have free will, that would have to make choices. The choices that we make, our intentions on why we make these choices, is how we learn lessons after lessons, life after life. And as we try to overcome those choices, make the choices that are loving, that's how we learn. And you kind of have to realize that to choose love is really very important, but you can't be forced. It can't be a punishment. It can't be to avoid fear, because love not given freely is not really love. So God created this being that could learn to love, give love freely, and then return back home to God.
And in The Gift of Past Lives, after each one of our 21 lives that we tell the story of, we then told the lesson at the end as to what we did incorrectly in that life, what was negative, why we came back again, because we didn't learn something in each one of those 21 lives.
Now, most of us, if this is real, most of us don't have memories of previous lives. Why are you allowed to have memories? Does that not break sort of I don't know, one of the cosmic rules that we're not supposed to remember our previous lives?
Well, in fact, there's a lot of people that do have lives. It's just, there are tons of reincarnation sites that you can get on and people share their experiences. It's just in mainstream, people don't talk about it because once they talk about it, they're deemed crazy or going against, you know, the usual way of thinking. But in fact, in our second book, Hell No Reincarnation, we do talk about the fact that reincarnation from the beginning was God's plan, and it was removed from the Bible. There's still little bits and pieces in there. It was removed, and it was removed from everything in life, because how else could they control us if we thought that we had more than one life to get it right? But by telling us we only had one life, we could be controlled and more apt to listen to what, you know, the churches or the powers that be were telling us.
But I guess I'm asking is, for those of us who don't remember a past life, is there a reason why we don't remember?
Well, the real reason we don't remember, Richard, is that in general, it would be too overwhelming. You know, I don't always remember what I had for breakfast 2 or 3 days ago, let alone trying to remember everything that happened. So there's a certain amount of amnesia that is necessary. Also, there's a certain amount of remorse that people would feel because the time in between lives, the time we call atonement, you go through a past life review, but actually that time is so peaceful, loving, it's educational. You learn about the life you just had. You learned what you did wrong, but you're in the presence of warmth and spirituality and spiritual beings, and actually somewhat in the presence of God. And being taken from that, there's a great amount of remorse and wanting to get back to that time when you were safe and warm and not going through the struggles of human existence. If there's not a certain amount of amnesia there, there would be almost a certain point of depression, which would make it difficult for you to carry out your next life.
So let's talk a little bit about the life between lives. Typically, how long is it that you spend, I guess, as a discarnate being before you reincarnate?
Well, there's some general research on that says currently the average time appears to be 18, 20 months. I know from our past life experiences, it's been hundreds of years to as short as 9 months. So that's really variable. And part of that is at least explained that people say time on the other side is not the same as time in the earthly realm. Some of it is explained as, you may have more lessons to learn. And then part of that is also, if you remember that you have to return on cycle with your family mates and or your karmic mates, there's a period of time you have to wait so that you can match up with them again. So if you die young, you may have a little bit longer period of time till you match up with the same people again, because they all have to pass away, go through their atonements, and then we all come back together again.
And do you have memories of your life in between lives? Is that something that comes to you through either a past life regression or through meditation, remembering what happened between lives?
I have had some experiences of time between lives and gone through some portions of my own atonement. I've also had what I would call a privilege to live through my father's last atonement. They let me experience that. In my past life, in his past life, my father was a slave trader named Horatio Valenti. He stole and separated families, sold them as slaves on the island of Bermuda in the 1600s, literally chaining people into the bottom of his ship. So he separated children and families. In his very next life, His daughter was abducted and murdered, and his wife died during delivery of their second child, a son who happened to be me. However, he literally had to feel what it was like to lose his part of his family in his next life. And in this life, where he was my father again, he actually was very sick with Parkinson's at the last 20 years of his life and was literally chained to a wheelchair for 20 years. So again, reliving part of that experience that he had as a slave trader. And parts of the things that are inspiring when you read or think about my father's life is he was high school principal. He worked really hard for the kids. He tried to make sure that they all got what they needed. At his funeral, I had several hundred students, past students and family from the community come up and tell me what a wonderful man he was and that he had helped so many people. And actually, he didn't let his Parkinson's disease make him bitter. He tried to actually live a life of value instead of whining about being trapped in a wheelchair and et cetera. So he actually sort of lives that point where love is what matters and not conceit, jealousy, selfishness, and unforgiveness. So that's one of the examples in the book, but that's also that period of atonement where he lived through the past lives that he did, saw what he did wrong, compared him to this life, and my father, which I think is a blessing, is now passed over and doesn't have to reincarnate anymore.
And also, it's good to remember that it's not what life deals you, but rather how you choose to deal with it, what you choose to do with it. And Harvey was never bitter about his situation. He made the best of it.
And how do we get off this cosmic wheel? We learn all the lessons that are to be learned, but if you don't have a memory of a previous life and you don't remember that atonement period, how do you retain those lessons? What's to prevent you from making the same mistakes over and over? And I guess some of us do.
And some of us do many, many times. That's why there's so many lives that we have to go through. Richard, I'll try to explain a little bit because I still have the scientist in me. When you study human consciousness, we discuss the subconscious. The subconscious is really where past memories, past experiences live. The human mind actually tends to place all negative experiences in sort of one column, all positive experiences in another column, and we literally, such as hot and cold, if you burn yourself on a fire, it is actually registered in your subconscious so that the next time you reach toward a fire, you pull back even faster. So the subconscious is actually registering those karmic events that were negative, that affected you negatively. So whether you remember them or not, they're still available in your subconscious. And so when you do have a spontaneous memory during meditation, you're actually accessing your subconscious memory of past lives or current lives, as we experienced with the beach story. Or if you have past life regression and you're having hypnosis and the hypnotherapist is trying to help you, they're accessing that subconscious memory, trying to bring some of those past memories forward. And there are many experiences that people have when they have past life regression that are very healing because they realize what a negative experience they had in the past. You know, if they had a past life where they drowned, they may be scared of water in this life. If they died of by falling, they may be scared of heights. And just addressing those, people find healing.
And the answer.
And what is the purpose?
Question,
go ahead, Carla. Go ahead, Carla.
Meditation, regular meditation, will open you up and allow your spirit guide and your angels, the whole spiritual world, to be in contact with you, to remind you, even if you don't know it when you're conscious, to remind you of what you're working on. And when most people meditate, they see colors. The colors are actual angels there to help us, to assist us. And if we remember, every time we make a choice, Are we acting in conceit? Are we being jealous? Are we being selfish? Are we always forgiving? If we remind ourselves every time we make a decision with those five simple rules, that's how we do it. That's how we get past it.
So going back to the period of the life between lives and the, mm-hmm. the period of atonement, there is a life review, and during that life review, I guess it's discussed with your, I guess let's call him your spiritual guidance counselor, you know, what mistakes were made and what the lessons were. Is it then decided by you and your spiritual guidance counselor what type of incarnation you'll have the next time, or do you have any choice?
Well, you really have limited choices is what they've told us. You do have some choices. Certainly, you're guided on those choices because, of course, you need to come back with those people that you have karma with that you need to try to address. You need to have circumstances that come up. You need to have some influences that draw you together. And again, karma works a little bit like a magnet. So in the next life, if you have some karma, you're going to be drawn to those people. Carla could tell you that some of her past life people were her husband now, her last husband. Because, again, sometimes there's some unfinished business that just needs to be dealt with and some lessons that need to be learned.
And what are the lessons that you're supposed to be learning this time? Do you know?
Well, I know mine is patience. It seems to follow me for 34 lives now. I'm working hard on it.
Some of the lessons are... Again, mostly it's about love and self-acceptance. I can go back to Ruby and JJ. Some of that was an impulsive young reaction, being involved, being in a dangerous life situation, taking risks. And you realize that there are risks that really you should not take, because they put you at either risk for death, which shortens your life, which means you can't learn the lessons and you need to come back again. We also learned lessons on being healthy. And so I'll give you a little example.
I'll get you to hold on to that. We'll do that example on the other side. We're going to take a quick time out, and we'll also open up the phone lines and take questions and comments. Here's Billy Joe Armstrong, Wake Me Up When September Ends, on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Say hello on Twitter, at Richard Serrett. A Warsaw, Indiana man and his cameraman are spending tonight in the old jail museum there hunting for ghosts. Barry Hayden and Bill Bones Elliott will be checking in, or they did check in tonight at 9 o'clock, and they're staying until 2 a.m. Sunday. The old jail museum is said to be one of the most haunted places in Kosciuszko County, according to County Director Greg Steff. The building was built in 1870, operated as the county's jail until 1982. Up until nearly its closing, the sheriff was required to live there. The jail cells remain in the condition they were left in, as do the living quarters where the last sheriff, Dave Andrews, and his family lived. There's been 4 suicides, 1 murder-suicide, and a lynching at the old jail, Steph said. And a ghost of a former sheriff walking around in his uniform has been reportedly seen many times. Steph, who's been investigating paranormal activity for 15 years, claims he and groups of people with him have not only had conversations with ghosts in the old jail, but even had the ghosts engage in requests, such as turning off and on a flashlight. It knocks your socks off, Steph said. You can read more about that story in the news section up at coasttocoastam.com. And if you like what you hear tonight this morning and you want to find out more about what I do, you can go to my website, strangeplanet.ca. strangeplanet.ca. It's all right there, my weekly syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show, which airs Sunday nights at 11 p.m. on Zoomer Radio here in Toronto. My podcast Conspiracy Unlimited, which drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can go to strangeplanet.ca. And while you're there, take a moment and register for my free monthly newsletter, Inner Sanctum. Again, it's all at strangeplanet.ca. Your phone calls, questions, and comments for Dave Bettenhausen and Carla Bogney-Kidd when Coast to Coast AM continues. All right, let's go to the phones. And east of the Rockies, Ron is in Florida. Ron, welcome to Coast.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm just curious.
My pleasure.
I'm listening to your program. It's really interesting. It kind of makes sense to me in a lot of ways, but it doesn't make sense in one way. And what I mean by that is, if you think about even, say, 50 years ago, there's so many more people today in the world than there were then. How are we all being reincarnated if there's more people than there ever was before? Are all these people being reincarnated, or are there new people coming into the mix? I mean, how does that work? And I'll let you go off the air so I can hear your answers, but that's my question.
All right, and it's a good one, Ron. And Dave and Carla, I'm guessing you get that a lot. How come there are more people if we're just recycling souls?
All right, so we do get that question a lot. There's a whole series of small answers. First, when we were discussing the time between lives, we do find that the time between lives is getting shorter. So that does partially explain how population growth can be affected by this. The other thing is we find out that there are still souls that have never had their first incarnation. So there were more than enough souls created in the beginning that this is not going to be a particular problem. And if you kind of look at climate issues and population growth and how we try to take care of this planet, we're also approaching a point that is close to what we can actually maintain on this planet, food sources, because transportation, et cetera, is not enough that we can get a much larger population still on this planet. So we're actually getting to the point where it is possible that we may start to see a decline in the population. We're getting certainly a much lower birth rate. So all of that is sort of addressed in what really does happen in the world and what we've learned during meditation.
All right, Ron, thank you for that. Good question. Is it possible for one soul to have two simultaneous incarnations? In other words, one soul is living out two lives at the same time.
Richard, I'm going to answer that as, with our experience, no. There are people who say they have experienced people who have had split souls, and that's not my experience or Carla's experience. We've only had one life at a time. We've only had one experience at a time. But there are certainly people in this area that talk about multiple universes and multiple experiences. Those experiences do not exist in our personal experience with this.
All right. Is it possible for two souls to be in one body?
Again, I'm going to answer that no, because that really doesn't serve any purpose for your lesson. I think people get confused with people who channel passed over souls and et cetera, that they end up getting this picture that possibly another soul could be talking to you. Again, if you don't allow that, it's not going to happen.
All right, let's say hi to Kurt, who's in Medford, Oregon, on west of the Rockies. Kurt, welcome to Coast.
Hello, Richard. Richard. Thank you very much for taking my call. I kind of wonder if Christ came to break the reincarnation cycle. It says in the Bible, of course, that man lives one life, you know, and it also says the dead know nothing. There's no work nor knowledge in the grave. And, of course, that does make some sense, considering, you know, the dissertation you've brought forth tonight. Maybe I could get a comment on that. And, Richard, if you would just, after I get an answer, could you just hold me over a second? There's a second part to this question.
All right. So did Christ come back to break reincarnation? Yeah.
Okay. So I'll try to address that. So for your caller, the first thing I'll tell you, because we've learned lots of different lessons, the first lesson that we learned almost is that there is no hell. One of the other lessons we've learned, which will make your caller at least feel somewhat more comfortable, is so far the only two souls that have not had to reincarnate to another life after their first incarnation is both Jesus and Muhammad. So that's interesting from a world perspective alone. For your caller, if God is all-knowing and all omnipotent, and God would create you knowing you would fail, then there would really be very little reason to create you. But if God created you with the ability to have more chances, like any loving parent giving the kid, their child, chance after chance after chance to get this right, that's what reincarnation states. And if you're talking about religious history, much of that is in our second book, Hell No Reincarnation. But the reality is the Jewish Kabbalists still believe in reincarnation. 26 or 27% of Christians believe in reincarnation. It's somewhere between 25 and 40% of the world believes in reincarnation. There is a significant truth to the fact that there is some truth in all religions. And the message of love that comes through reincarnation is not unlike the same lesson that Jesus taught. And the truth is, in religious history, up until 200 AD, the church fathers, especially Origen, who is was a Greek philosopher, Jewish heritage, who was one of the first Christian scholars, who wrote most of the early Catholic Church doctrine. It was still 200 AD when he was still preaching that reincarnation was likely, and that there was a pre-existence of the soul and a post-existence of the soul, and that the soul could return into other lives in order to correct its wrongs. So that's 150 or 170 years after Jesus' time. That was still a teaching in the church. The Gnostics at the time, which were a Christian offshoot, still believed in reincarnation. And that the real doctrine where they started to stop preaching of reincarnation was because at that time they said that Jesus was going to return probably within the next lifetime. So no one was ever going to have to reincarnate again. So it became an unfavorable teaching in the church because Jesus is going to return. Well, it's still 2,000 years later, and Jesus hasn't returned yet, and all of those souls are still recycling because they still haven't learned their lessons, and God is still giving them another chance.
Kurt, you had a follow-up question. Go ahead.
Thank you. That's very interesting. You would think that after all these thousands and thousands of years, that lessons being learned, that things would be getting better on Earth. But right now, I'm seeing barbaric evil on the planet. I mean, in every country, and I'm seeing terrible division in the United States right now. I mean, I'm seeing people. I'm seeing evil that I've never seen before. And if things are getting better, and we get better, how come there's such a terrible evil on the face of the earth right now? That's what I'd like to know.
That's a great question, Kurt. If each time we reincarnate, we we're learning lessons, we're becoming better people, why isn't our consciousness far more elevated? You would think it would be far, we'd be far better than we are.
And I agree that should be the way this works. There is a certain amount, though, of long-term group karma that is still operating on the planet. If we really look all the way back, and for Kurt, if we look all the way back to even before, but if we look back to Jesus's time, we have a period of persecution of the Jews, persecution of the Christians, the crucifixion of Jesus, the Roman expansion, which brings Christianity throughout the world. Then we have crusades against other religions, the Inquisition that occurs. We have war between people and more wars. And if you want to look back, you could say all of the karma from the past, maybe even the persecution of the Christians and Jews, all led up to even World War II, which is still considered that greatest war. Because there's a certain amount of group karma, because as a society, we allow this to happen. And so as a society...
Right, we have a lot of bad karma to work through, in other words. We have a lot of bad karma still to work through. And it should be pointed out, the world is a far less violent place, despite, what you might see on the news. The world is far less violent than it was even 40, 50 years ago.
Yes, absolutely.
Fewer wars.
Absolutely.
All right, let's try to squeeze in a couple more if we can. Tyson is in Florida on the wild card line. Tyson, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
Good morning.
Okay, cool. I have a question for you guys. Is it just humans have, can you do like animal life or reincarnate into anything, or is it just humans?
So I'll address that one too, Tyson. And part of this is based on what we have learned, and part of this is based on some of the reincarnation research that's out there. Based on some science principles, we believe that reincarnation is one of our evolutionary steps, that millions of years ago, those creatures never had to reincarnate, that the consciousness or the soul got to the point where there was a receptor in the brain that allowed the human soul to interact with the human body. And so it's very unlikely that the evolution in any other species would be the same, or that the same receptor is there. So reincarnation across species to animals, etc., really doesn't happen. Now, that, again, I have to say that part of that is a Hindu part of the reincarnation experience. They say you can be punished in such a way that you might move back in steps and become an animal and have to live through living an instinct again. However, that really doesn't make any sense, or is not part of our experience, that God still wants you to learn at the level that you're capable as a human.
All right, Tyson, thank you for that.
Yeah, and the animals don't reincarnate. They don't need to learn those lessons. And in fact, just so you know, your favorite cat and your favorite dog is going to be on the other side when you get there.
Without karma.
All right. If you've done horrible things in your lifetime, is it possible to undo that bad karma in that lifetime? Can you make amends, or do you have to resolve that in your next life?
You can start to make loving choices in this life today. That's really the positive message and the liberating message with all of this, is you can correct today's karma still today. If you're rude to the grocery store clerk who bags your groceries, and you think about it, try to be nice to the next grocery store clerk. The last thing you really want to do is return in another life just to try to correct the fact that you were rude and in a bad mood. So we can start to correct those things now. We can make amends to those people that we've hurt in this life. We can start to be more accepting of other religions. We can start to not try to fight each other. We can try not to pollute our environment. I mean, that's another one of those interesting points. Literally, with reincarnation, if you throw your plastic bottle out the window and it's there for 400 years degrading, you're going to come back in the next life to a world that has plastic bottles degrading in the ground. So think about taking care of this planet, because you're leaving this planet to your children, and literally you're leaving this planet to yourself.
Ah, excellent point. All right, David and Carla, the website is thegiftofpastlives.com, and thanks for hanging out these last 2 hours.
Thank you for having us, Richard.
It's been an absolute privilege, Richard. Thank you.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you. All right, that is it for me. And for George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyon, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galante, Michael Cozio, Donna Walker, Sean Latasor, Chris Burrows, and in Brantford, Ontario, Scott Park, I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. Until next time, so long for now.